He joins me now. Alex, thank you very much for doing this. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for having me, Scotty.
Hey, no problem whatsoever. You look like you've lost a little weight since your playing days. You've slimmed down a little.
I always had to eat so much to just keep on the weight I went in my playing days. So right now, back to a normal diet, I'd say. Really enjoying my time as an assistant coach in Laval, Montreal's farm team. So I'm liking it, and I'm feeling good. The body feels good.
You were always such a hard worker. You worked out so hard. Do you still do that, but just in a different way now? Or does do the coaching hours just mean that you don't have time for that anymore?
Well, I think the coaching hours is way more than I first expected. And to all the coaches I've had, I know they put in a lot of time to make sure that we were on the same page and I would get better, my teammates would get better. So that's what I try to do. I don't spend as much time in the gym, that's for sure. I still get on the ice every day and run the back skates with the LT players or the guys that are rehabbing. So I'm really enjoying my time.
Alex Burrows, 14 seasons in the National Hockey League, goes into the Canucks Ring of Honor tonight. He joins me here on the Scott Rintoul Show. You didn't get drafted. Did you think you were going to be drafted?
Never. I wasn't even close of being drafted when I was 17 years old. I think I was playing midget double A, so I didn't have any scouts coming to my games. And for me, the NHL was so far away at that point. Hockey's always been my number one passion, but I quickly realized that in that era, a bit younger, I was really small and at late puberty. I started growing when I was probably 18 and 19, and that's when I started maybe being a little bit better player and knowing that I still needed a lot of hard work to get to the NHL. And good thing I had some good coaches, good teammates along the way that helped me get there.
And you're the poster boy for the ECHL because you went to the ECHL, then you went to the AHL, then you get to the National Hockey League and you have an incredible impact at that level as well. When you were that teenager who started to grow and you still wanted to play hockey, what did you think a good life in hockey would be?
Oh, I thought it was all glamorous being in the NHL, and it must have been so much fun, but I quickly realized when I get to the NHL that it's so much work and the grind really grinds you down, like the long travels, the mental grind of winning a big game, you're so pumped up, and then losing a heartbreaker, then you're so down on yourself. So for me, I had to find really quick that I needed to be an even keel mentality to just keep getting better every day, and that's always going to be able to stay in the league as long as I did. But it's easier said than done, that's for sure.
When you made the AHL with the Manitoba Moose, I know you thought that would be just fine. Like, of course you want to get the NHL,
yep.
But did you think you'd almost made it? Like, hey, if I can stay in this league and I can play for a bunch of years, we're good. Like, I'll cash in my chips.
That's exactly how I thought. When I finally got to the American Hockey League, I was making $450 a week in the ECHL. And now when I got called up to the American Hockey League, I made $45,000. I thought that was pretty sweet living, $45,000. I'm playing hockey. I'm still a young guy. I thought it was pretty sweet, but I knew I was only one step away from being an NHLer, and that's always been my dream ever since I was a kid. So, and during that lockout year, 2004-05, we had guys like Kessler, Alex Auld, Josh Green, all guys, Lee Gorin, all guys that had played in the NHL the previous years. So now I'm always thinking, like, I'm skating, I'm on the team with guys that played in the NHL last year. So if I keep working and getting better and keep pushing myself to get better, I might have a chance one day. And lucky enough, a year later, I was able to get my first chance to play for the Canucks.
Alex Burrows, 14 seasons in the National Hockey League, most of them with the Vancouver Canucks. He goes into the Ring of Honor tonight. He joins me here this morning on the Scott Rintoul Show. How important was that lockout year, not just for you, but for a lot of the players on that Moose team that would go on to the Vancouver Canucks?
Always huge. For me, it was really good. I think for a guy like Kess, like guy like Kevin Bieksa, a guy like even Aldi, Rick Rippon, I think it was all good for us to play in the league at that point, because the league was so strong. So many good players that played in the NHL the year before were all in the American League, so teams were really strong. A lot of NHLers that were down in the minors competing three games in 3 nights and doing the bus rides and whatnot. And we had a really good team in Winnipeg, and it was such a fun year because we closed out the Winnipeg Arena and opened the new MTS Center that year. And for me, being living by myself in Winnipeg, just behind the new rink, we could spend the day at the rink the entire time. And it was brand new, super nice locker room. We'd be on the ice all day. We obviously practiced as a team, but then guys would go see their family. But us young guys, we'd stay at the rink. Randy Carlisle always made sure that we'd do the extra work on the ice and in the gym. So it was so cold in Winnipeg, and you didn't want to go outside, so you stayed at the rink in this beautiful setup, and that was living the dream for me, just being at the rink all day and having fun playing hockey.
I noticed when you said the name Rick Rippon, I see the look in your eyes. That's still an emotional topic. Luc Bourdon, I know, was an emotional topic. I saw him playing. They were playing a World Junior game from 2007 just the other day, and I saw him score a goal, and I sort of had that same moment as well. Why did you have such an emotional connection with those players in particular?
Well, I think, Rick, I think we had this similar story. Undrafted, came out of junior and played with us in Manitoba, and feisty, didn't have it easy in junior, and always wanted to get better. And I think we got called up pretty much at the same time with Vancouver, and we had a close bond. We knew what to expect of each other. We had different role, different style a little bit, but deep down, we both wanted to play in the NHL for a long time. And too bad that Rick was suffering from a mental illness, and it was just super disappointing. And for Luke, Luke was just a good old Maritimer that came in as a 19-year-old, I'd say. And I was the only French-Canadian team on the French-Canadian player on the team, and I think that's really was our bond right from the get-go. And I tried to help Luke as much as possible, knowing he was a big prospect for the organization and he had a tremendous potential. So I wanted to make sure he felt comfortable coming to the rink every day and being a Canuck. And we gelled right off the get-go. We were really good friends. Our girlfriends got along really well. And it was just so tragic and so sad that he had that accident that summer, the next summer.
So there's a player you took under your wing when he got to Vancouver. When you arrived in Vancouver, who's the player who was the biggest influence on you?
For me, I was lucky enough when I got called up that Kevin Bieksa and Ryan Kessler were there. So they were young guys, and they helped me away from the rink, and we had the dinners. For me, I was lucky enough to sit next to Trevor, and Trevor taught me so much. Just the way to play the right way, play the game the right way, and just to how to conduct yourself as a member of a Vancouver Canuck, either with the training staff, the coaches, the media, just the way he conducted himself in the community. I would always look up to Trevor a whole lot, and I think that first year sitting next to him in the locker room, I learned a lot, and I think I always remember how much Trevor helped me to become a Canuck and helped me so I could have this kind of career.
205 goals in the National Hockey League, all but 12 of them with the Vancouver Canucks. Alex Burrows joins me here on a day in which he goes into the Ring of Honor for the Vancouver Canucks. You mentioned Trevor Lynn and the connection with the community. When did you feel the connection with this community? Because you talk to people in Vancouver, they still love you, Alex.
Well, I think the people in Vancouver, like the Canucks fans, have always been so good to me. They've always treated me fairly through the good times, the bad times. And it's always been like so much fun to play, and I've always felt that support. And somehow all these sellouts that we used to have when we used to play, it kind of created that energy inside my belly, and I always wanted to make sure that I was going to work as hard as I could to make them proud. But as a Canuck player, like, you're not only asked to be a good hockey player, but you're also asked to be a good human being in the community. And as you get older and you start having kids and your priorities change, and you start realizing those experiences that we've had, that I've had and my teammates have had, working in the community, either at Canuck's place or family skates, anything we used to do in the community, those are super life-changing experiences that I really enjoyed. And it makes you feel good that you might change somebody's life by taking a picture, taking an autograph, or taking 2 minutes of your day. And for them, it's like the biggest thing, and it's super humbling. And I think those are stories that I've really liked, and I think that's maybe why the people in the community have connected with me.
And everybody here did connect with you, and as I mentioned, you were really embraced by Vancouver. Other fan bases couldn't stand you. You were one of those guys. We did a top five list last hour. It was based on you. Like, the top five guys, you'd love them if you had them, but you probably couldn't stand them if you didn't. Did you relish that?
I never really put that much thought into it. I always loved playing on the road for some reason. I loved when the road building was dead quiet and you could hear a pin drop. That meant that we were doing something good and that we had taken the game over. And I always enjoyed playing on the road for that reason and make the other fan base lose it or being upset at me or at our team. But I always loved playing at Rogers Arena. I think this building was really rocking for a number of years. We always knew that they were going to be behind us, and very rarely they treated us unfairly.
Well, you could hear a pin drop during the course of that Chicago series, probably after Game 5 when you guys lost at home and the Blackhawks were on their way back. Let's go back to 2011, Game 7 against Chicago. Before we even get into the game, you're thinking about it the day before. You're thinking about it leading up to the game. Were you aware at the time of how important that game was, not just for that playoff run, Alex, but for the future of the team?
Oh, no, for sure. We were, but I was for sure. I remember my teammates were too, that we had such a good group of guys. We liked each other so much. We liked to be at the rink so much together. And we were like first place in the league, first power play, first PK, best goals for, less goals against. Like, we had a really good team, and we had been together through some hard time the previous years, losing to Chicago in the second round. But that was our year. We knew it, that was our year. And now playing against the Blackhawks, up 3-0, now it's tied 3-3. We knew how important that Game 7 was. And I remember we were staying at the Pac Rim in Cole Harbour, and to limit as many distractions as possible. And I remember driving with Kess to the rink that game, and we just knew we were going to find a way to get that to win that game. And who knows what would have happened if we'd have lost that game. With maybe management would have been gone, maybe coaching staff would have been gone, all our teammates, maybe the Twins, Kess, Juice, Lou, me, myself, Hammer, like so many guys, who knows what would have happened. And so we didn't want it to end, not only for that playoff run, but for we enjoyed being around each other, and we had to find a way to get it done. And I was so happy that we were able to win that game.
Well, and you're the guy who scores the goal, and everybody remembers the Slay the Dragon goal, Game 7, overtime. You get that. People might not remember you scored the other goal in that game for the Canucks as well, and they might not remember you were in the penalty box for 2 minutes in overtime. What were those 2 minutes like? Game 7, overtime, and you're sitting there in the penalty box watching the Blackhawks on the power play.
Well, for me, that game was the craziest game of my career. Like you mentioned, I scored the first goal. Great setup by Ryan Kessler. And then in the third period, I don't know if you remember, but I missed a penalty shot. I got tripped on a breakaway, and I got a penalty shot, and I made the worst move that I've ever done in my career in a penalty shot. I didn't change my speed, didn't change my angle. That terrible shot, like, it was the worst penalty shot ever. And even then they got a power play late in the game, and they scored on the PK with like a minute left, and I was kind of involved in that situation where I feel I could have maybe prevented that goal. Or so that was another bad play. Then a penalty, that was the worst 2 minutes of my life, sitting with a lazy hooking penalty in the offensive zone in overtime, like terrible penalty. And but I knew that my guys could pull it off for me. Everybody wanted to win so bad, so I knew they could pull it off. And we had pre-scouted them, like, now it's Game 7, so we know what they're trying to do in their power play. And I still remember we talked about that goal line play, and Lou read it perfectly. And obviously, I would have liked Kevin to cut that pass, but Taze made that pass to Patrick Sharp, and Lou made that unbelievable shoulder save. And I think, like, everybody talks about the goal and slaying the Dragon, but that save is why we kept playing and why I had an opportunity to score the game winner. So I'll forever remember that save for Lou, for saving my in the penalty box at that time. And who knows what the story would be different for sure if that goal would have gone in. I got a chance to score that big goal afterwards.
The best season you ever had in junior hockey was 35 goals. You matched that in the NHL. I don't know if you ever believed you would reach those heights, did you?
No, never. I always hoped that I was going to be able to be a goal scorer, but I quickly realized when I first came up in the NHL that I wasn't going to be a goal scorer right from the get-go. I needed to learn how to play the pro game. I needed to establish myself and find a chair where I could succeed. And Crow gave me that opportunity right off the get-go, that he believed in me and really taught me what it took to play in the NHL. And then later on, as I got AV, and AV gave me my chance in 2009 to play with the Twins. My timing of it was perfect. I had witnessed the Twins for 4 years. I've witnessed them play with different line mates. I've witnessed them see how they wanted to play the game and be successful playing the game. And for me, it was straightforward. As much as I could maybe make plays and stuff, my role was to give them the puck and give them as many opportunities to have some success with the puck. And they could create way better than I could, and I didn't mind it. I gave them the puck as many times as possible, and I went to the net and I tried to get open there, and it kind of worked perfectly as a line. And it was a good time, and I really miss those days. And scoring goals, I think the timing of it was good. The Twins were in their prime. We had a really good team. And I was just really lucky to be a part of it.
I know I'm getting the wrap-up sign here, but I want to ask you one more question quickly. You're in coaching now. It's been a tough couple of weeks for coaches, tough couple of weeks for hockey. I imagine you've reflected on how you go about delivering your message, how you do what you do. But there's a lot of good hockey stories out there as well. Which coach had the most positive impact on your career, whether it was somebody in minor hockey or along the professional route? Who was it?
I think they've all had a positive impact in my career. I could talk about how Crow gave me my first chance and how good he was at teaching me how to play the game. To AV, that really gave me like great opportunities to succeed and taught me how to play the right way. He was like really good to me. And his honesty in our one-on-one meetings. I still remember after my second year when I met with AV, he told me, like, son, you're not good enough right now. Like, you'll need to really put in the work this summer. So you'd, and that honesty, it was blunt. It might not have been what I wanted to hear after my second year in the NHL, but he was right, and I needed to buckle down and get back to work because I was far from being on the right track to be a NHL player. So I really appreciated that honesty. Torts, man, he was so good to us too. Like, he really helped us make us understand that it was okay, like, to push our physical and mental limits so we could, like, reach our full potential. And that was, like, for me, 1 year that I suffered injuries, broke my foot, broke my jaw, broke my thumb that year. So it's tough to really gain some traction with Torts, but I really enjoyed my time with him. And even for Willie, Willie was really good for me when, he always found a positive side in every situation, and I learned that from him. And that was a rebuilding years. It was tough for me. I could see my career that was trending towards the end, and we were kind of rebuilding as an organization. I totally understood, and he gave me the freedom to share my experiences, share my story, share my teaching with the young guys, and they were all good to me. And obviously nowadays, I think the new generation, they want it. Talk more, they want to know where they stand a little bit more. So we make sure in Laval that we talk to these guys on a daily basis, and if they have whatever issues, it could be personal stuff, it could be hockey related questions, it could be something that's on their mind, our office is always open, or our phones are always on 24/7, and we want to work with them. We want to make them achieve their goals, and they all want to play in the NHL. And if they have any issues and they don't feel comfortable and they want to talk about it, they know our door is always open. And that's our message to our group or our team in Laval, where in my days, like, no news, good news was a good thing. If the coach wasn't talking to me for 2 weeks, I knew I was doing a good job, or I knew there wasn't any issues. Where nowadays, I feel like we talk to them every day. And it's okay, too. Like, they get so much information fired at them from left and right, from social media to their agents to the information travels so quick to them. So if there's any issues, we talk to them, and they know where we stand.
Honesty and communication. Well, you know where you stand in this fan base. You're going to see a lot of it tonight. Enjoy the night. I know it's hard to take it all in, but do your best.
Thank you.
This community, this arena, the text messages are pouring in right now, Alex. They want to embrace you tonight.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.